This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Like Team USA at the World Cup, the potential for action on immigration reform remains very much alive despite Representative Luis Gutierrez of Illinois showing a red card on the issue to House Republicans, according to Vice President Joe Biden. Biden met Thursday with a small group of people representing law enforcement, religious communities, and agriculture, including the American Farm Bureau Federation's Christy Boswell. The Agriculture Department is now inviting suggestions for the 2017 Census of Agriculture. Conducted only once every 5 years by USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the census provides detailed data covering nearly every facet of U.S. agriculture down to the county level. The recent release of the 2012 Census of Agriculture is the end of an ongoing 5-year cycle that has started anew with the first stage of the 2017 census asking what changes to make in the next questionnaire. NASS released the complete 2012 Census of Agriculture results on May 2nd. USDA has announced fruit, vegetable, and wild rice provisions that affect farmers who intend to participate in certain programs authorized by the 2014 Farm Bill. Farmers who intend to participate in the Agriculture Risk Coverage or Price Loss Coverage programs are subject to an acre-for-acre payment reduction when fruits and nuts, vegetables, or wild rice are planted on the payment acres of a farm. Payment reductions do not apply to mung beans, dry peas, lentils, or chickpeas. Planting fruits, vegetables, or wild rice on acres that are not considered payment acres will not result in a payment reduction. Farms that are eligible to participate in ARC-PLC but are not enrolled for a particular year may plant unlimited fruits, vegetables, and wild rice for that year, but will not receive ARC-PLC payments for that year. Eligibility for succeeding years is not affected. Palmer amaranth, a nutritious plant similar to quinoa, is threatening the heart of industrial American agriculture. Recognized as a superweed, Palmer amaranth can grow up to 7 feet tall, throw off up to 600,000 seeds per plant, and is extremely resistant to herbicides. While the spread of Palmer amaranth has disrupted southern farmers for years, it has recently begun to appear in Iowa fields and its resistance is stronger than ever. Although this problem was first seen on farms that solely produce crops grown with biotech seed, Palmer amaranth has expanded to destroying organic and conventional fields as well. Farmers have taken immediate and extreme action by hiring manual labor to remove the weeds, while an editorial in the Science Journal Nature suggests a more long-term solution of regular crop rotation throughout the Midwest. Without a solution, Palmer amaranth threatens the $330 billion agriculture industry. When shopping for food, 2/3 of U.S. consumers look for locally grown on labels, while 59% check to see if the products they're buying are natural, according to a survey from Consumer Reports National Research Center. For years, farmers and ranchers have cast a wary eye toward new laws and regulations from Washington they feel will be costly and burdensome. Agricultural producers argue they know the best way to take care of their land, not only to maximize production, and if they're lucky, to make a profit, but also to preserve the acreage they depend on to survive. Now a rule being proposed by the Environmental Protection Agency outlining which bodies of water the agency would oversee under the Clean Water Act has again rattled the agriculture industry. The EPA says it is necessary after recent court rulings to clarify the 1972 law. Many farmers fear it amounts to nothing more than a land grab that could saddle them with higher costs, more regulatory red tape, and less freedom to run their farms and ranches. The National Equipment Register expects equipment theft to surge prior to Independence Day and throughout the weekend. Potential target areas include construction sites, rental facilities, dealerships, and farms. NER encourages people to be mindful of suspicious activity leading up to the holiday, such as gates that are left open to clearly shut down facilities, late night or early morning activity on site, and heavily loaded and or poorly secured transportation vehicles driving nearby throughout the week. Taking proactive measures will help lower the risk of theft on your farm. NER suggests ensuring all lights, alarms, and cameras work effectively. Checking to make sure all fencing and gates bordering property are intact. Keeping high targeted equipment out of sight or in a secure location. Securing trailers. Moving large equipment to a location where it will not provide cover for thieves. Communicating with nearby businesses and properties to ensure they are aware of crime warnings, and designated someone to check on the farm and equipment throughout the holiday weekend. In celebration of July as Bison Month, the National Bison Association is promoting its free Bison Finder app for smartphones and tablets. The app helps users find bison meat at retail stores, farmers markets, and on restaurant menus. Learn more at www.bisoncentral.com. An all-American 4th of July picnic of the nation's favorite foods, including hot dogs, cheeseburgers, pork spare ribs, potato salad, baked beans, lemonade, and chocolate milk, will cost slightly more this year, but still comes in at less than $6 per person, says the American Farm Bureau Federation. Farm Bureau's informal survey reveals the average cost for a summer picnic for 10 is $58.72, or $5.87 per person. That's about a 5% increase compared to a year ago. A new report from the Agriculture Department pegs the nation's planted soybean acreage at a record 84.8 million acres. But ultimately, Mother Nature will determine how plentiful harvest will be for both soybean and corn farmers, says the American Farm Bureau Federation. The estimate of soybean planted area is 8.3 million more acres than was planted in 2013. The increase in acreage planted compared to 2013 is led by the soybean powerhouse states of Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, which are each expected to plant between 600 and 850,000 more acres this year. If the USDA projections are realized, U.S. farmers will have planted a record number of soybean acres, exceeding the previous record by 7.4 million acres. The report tallies U.S. corn planted acres at 91.6 million acres, 3.72 million fewer acres than in 2013. Farmers in the core production states of Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana are expected to plant the same amount of corn this year as in 2013. Although weather conditions have remained less than ideal, the corn crop is still holding up, as 75% is rated as either good or excellent, according to USDA's Monday release of its weekly report on crop progress. USDA said that while good ratings declined by 1 point to 55% level, the amount of the crop considered excellent increased by 2 points to 20%. While conditions and growth rates have been rather stable to the end of June, it is anticipated that it could be another tough week for crops, as the weather forecast is for a pattern of ongoing rain and storms in Nebraska, Iowa, and Illinois. Further precipitation is also expected for the southeast and within the Delta, which could develop into some regional flooding. In its first update on the start of the pollination phase, the most crucial time period for corn yields, USDA said that there was only 5% of the crop silking at this time, compared to 3% in 2013 and a five-year average of 9%. For soybeans, USDA stated the 2014 crop has been planted at this time and that the percentage of emergence has reached a level of 94% with an increase of 4 points. The growth rate has stayed ahead of the 2013 level, which was at 90% level, and drawn even with the five-year average of 94%. A World Trade Organization compliance panel has released to government officials a confidential interim decision about the case that Canada and Mexico brought against the U.S. country of origin labeling rules. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico will review the interim report and provide comments to the compliance panel. A final report by the compliance panel is expected in late July. The compliance panel is reviewing, at the request of Canada and Mexico, the May 2013 COOL rules issued by the Agriculture Department. These rules were developed in response to the WTO appellate body ruling in June 2012 that the COOL meat labeling rules issued in January 2009 by USDA unfairly discriminated against livestock raised in Canada and Mexico. The May 2013 rules from USDA added additional labeling requirements, including country locations where the animals were born, raised, and slaughtered. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.